as we go along and we continue to put this to practice, I want you to understand that we're getting around to something that I think is very important, and it's going to be constructive toward what we've already been building as we continue to grow and become the workmen that we need to be, the skillful artificers that are approved unto God, as we study to show thyself approved. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to pick up from last week, beginning in verse 10. We're going to read down through verse 17. If you can stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, and you can join me out loud on the even verses. So we will begin together in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. At the beginning of chapter 3, we spent a lot of time taking the time to understand what we're up against. And I think that's important. If you're going to be a skillful artificer, you need to know what you're going to be up against. Okay, let's say you are a sculptor, right? You're going to need to know the materials you're working with, right? And then you're going to need to know the pitfalls, what to look out for. If, let's say you're working with clay, all right? You're going to need to know the types of clay, right? You're going to need to know the elements of the clay, the things that make up the clay, right? You're going to need to know what makes clay hard, what makes it soft, what, you know, those type of things. And then you're going to need to know to look for what impurities can be found in clay, and understand what to overcome and how to overcome those difficulties, right? And so as an artificer, we need to understand some things, because let's say we'll go back to sculpting again, and you're working with stone. Let's say you're a stone worker, okay? If you're working with a piece of stone, you need to know what kind it is, because, you know, there are different makeups of different crystal formations and those types of things that if you hit it the wrong way, you're going to get the wrong outcome, right? Or if you coming along and you notice or you see maybe a fracture or a stress fracture or something, you have to know how to work with all those things. So Paul is just trying to equip Timothy. He says, Timothy, in the last days, these perilous times are going to come. And they're going to be these pitfalls. They're going to be these impurities that you're going to have to watch out for, because they can destroy the work that you're trying to accomplish. And folks, listen, one of the other things about a skillful artificer or a workman that is important to know, that if you're going to be approved of God, you've got to complete your work. I mean, a skillful artificer is going to be counted on to produce something, right? I mean, how many of you think you could have the title skillful artificer and never produce something? Right? It'd be like being a painter and never have done a painting. I mean, I've got this beautiful studio. I've got all these paintbrushes, the finest paintbrushes, and with the finest wooden handles and the finest fibers for the brushes, and I've got these paints, and they come from all over the world, and they are organic materials, and they come from nature, and they are the true colors of this universe, and I've got these canvases, and they're all different shapes and sizes, and they're lovely, and I have these easels, and I have the proper lighting. Okay, where are your paintings? Well, I haven't got to them yet. Or I started one over here. See this beautiful blue? Oh, that's great. This over here, I got some orange. And it's got a little bit of subtlety of pinks and red hues in there. I'm thinking about doing an ocean sunset, but, you know. What? Where's the product? Well, I thought you were a great painter. Well, I have great supplies, I have great things, but no great work. So we've got to know that if we're going to be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that there's got to be a product out there. And we've got to know the pitfalls. We've got to avoid some things, and we've got to leave behind some things, and we've got to notice what's going to happen. Now, I want you to look at verse 10. Paul is a workman. He is a proven commodity. This man, at this age and this time in his life, as he's speaking to a younger man who's less experienced, who needs some direction, he's saying, Timothy, son in the faith, look at my body of work. I am a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm not just telling you to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I am showing you what a workman that needs not to be ashamed looks like. He says, come into my studio. Never mind the paintbrushes and the paints and the easels and the lighting. Look at this piece of artwork. Look at this piece of artwork. Look at this one here. Tell me what you see in the textures and in the lighting and in the shading and in the shadows. And tell me what you think about this combination of colors and how this looks to the eye of the beholder. And all these, he says, look, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Timothy, I have a proof here. I have something to look at. I have something to pattern after that I want you to see. He says, Timothy, you need to flee youthful lusts. You need to depart from iniquity. You need to be a vessel of honor. You need to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. And you need to be patient and apt to teach and instructing and teaching those that they may come to repentance. But watch out. There are pitfalls, there are snares, there are people who would destroy. He says you need to turn away from them, you need to keep away from them and not let them affect your ministry and your product. Now he does give some examples in verses 8 and 9. Remember Jannes and Jambres, they withstood Moses. He said, so do these also resist the truth. They're men of corrupt minds. They are reprobate concerning the faith. Okay, there are people, folks, that don't even want to acknowledge that we or God or the Word of God exists. And listen to me. There are some that were never going to win to Christ. And that's not because we didn't try. In no way, shape, or form does this say don't try. This just says when you do try, and they are resisting, then just turn away. Turn away. You know, I am content giving out a gospel tract and just saying, would you please read this when you have time? Because I'm not going to sit there and argue and fight and fuss and fume with someone that doesn't want what I have. My job is to just tell them. My job is to express to them to the best of my ability that God loves them, that they're a sinner and God wants to see them saved. He does not want them to go to hell. He does want them to go to heaven. And these are God's words. Please consider them. And if they take the track and they tear it up and throw it away, well, let me ask you a question. Why would I be offended about that? It's not tearing my words up. It's tearing up God's words. You know what I'll do? I'll pick up the pieces and say, sorry you feel that way. I hope that someday the truth gets through to you. And I can look at them and say that with all sincerity. Why would I be mad at them? They're lost people. They don't know any better. If I get mad at them, you know what that's going to do? See, I told you, you Christians, you're just like us. I told you a story about a person that I was out soul winning with when I was younger in the faith, and they got into a discussion with someone where it turned into strife. And he apologized for this later, but the person I was with was a mature Christian, but he let himself get so frustrated with the argument that at the end of the argument he said, "Fine, just go to hell then. See if I care." And stormed away. Now that wasn't the right response. But why would you let yourself get worked up there? And guess what? That whole painting that he was trying to paint to win that person to Christ was just destroyed. Because he, if you will, at that time didn't listen to this. He said, look, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. So Paul says, look, Timothy, back to verse 10, chapter 3. We talked about all these lists of people and what that means in the battle that we're in. And we have biblical examples of it. And Paul says, look, not only do we have biblical examples of these evil people, these people that don't want to hear the truth, these people that are undermining, they're destroying the faith. But Timothy, more importantly, we've got a whole gallery here of positive examples. Things that you need to look for. Now, how many of you understand the master journeyman process? Or at least have an idea of the master journeyman process, okay? So when you're a master plumber, okay, that means you can do plumbing without any supervision. Okay, because you have earned that title. Now, that doesn't mean they always get it right, okay? Please understand that. Oh, hey, I hired a master plumber, Pastor, but they didn't do a good job. I'm sorry, okay? But they're supposed to be a master plumber, okay? So they're supposed to know how plumbing works, right? So a master plumber would be considered a workman, right? A skillful artificer, okay? And then to become a master plumber, you've got to enter in as a journeyman, okay? You've got to enter into the process, and you've got to put in the time. You've got to study about plumbing, right? You've got to go out on plumbing, you get to go out on plumbing jobs with a master plumber to be able to learn how to become a master plumber. Y'all know, electricians, right? Teachers. I mean, there's lots of categories where this process is done, okay? Folks, listen to me. Paul, if you will, was a master Christian, a master workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And he's got a journeyman with him named Timothy, who he's encouraging. Timothy, you need to become a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's Paul's admonition to Timothy in chapter 2. Chapter 3, he gives the people who are going to oppose him and saying, look, Timothy, along the way, You're going to come up against people who are going to be against you. Who are going to try to lead you astray. You know, maybe a journeyman plumber will get into a situation and they're on a job and another plumber comes along and says, oh, you know what? You shouldn't be doing it that way. You should do it this way. Well, but my master taught me to do it this way. Well, but that's not the right way. Watch out. Hey, how about this? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand. You're the customer that says, I don't think you know what you're doing. Why don't you do it this way? Maybe I've done that a few times. I don't know. A lot of times I say, well, that doesn't look right to me. Are you sure that's how it's supposed to go? Kevin, you had a plumbing thing the other day. Yeah. Did you have a master plumber work on that? No, they probably weren't. But no, I mean, so do you see what I'm saying? So Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you've fully known my doctrine. Timothy, I've been a good master workman to you. I've been a good teacher to you. You know what I stand for. You know what things that are truth and what are to be done and how they're to be done. We need to realize that we need to know the processes, the way to do things, how to do things. So Paul asks Timothy to say, Timothy, come back here and just remember what I showed you in my studio. And how I took this brush and I took this paint and I laid a foundation here. And I did that. And then I took this brush and I took this paint and I added this accent and this thing. I feel for some reason I feel like I need a big wig and I need to make happy little treats. I should have done that, shouldn't I? Right? But you know, but how many of you realize there's a process to artwork? There's a process. There you build layers upon layers upon layers. Yes, I've watched PBS, Mr. Ross there, and Happy Little Trees and fluffy hair. Okay, but there's a way to go about things. He says, Timothy, in order to be a workman, he said, rightly divide the word of truth, and that goes back to doctrine. Where does our doctrine come from? It comes from the word of God. Can I tell you something? My doctrine doesn't come from being a Baptist. I was just talking with someone about this moments ago. The word loyalty. Folks, I only have one loyalty. It's to this book. And the God of this book. If Baptists go off in a different direction, I'm not following the Baptists. I'm going to follow this book. Because the Word of God is where I get my doctrine from. Not from the traditions of men, not from councils and scribes and philosophers and whatnot. I know what God has given. Paul said, Timothy, you know my doctrine, you know my manner of life, you know my purpose, you know my faith. And then in verse 14 he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. In verse 15 he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. He said, Timothy, you've been a journeyman for a long time. It's now time for you to step up and become a master. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And Timothy, I want you to watch out. There are going to be people that despise your youth. There are going to be people that talk against you. There are going to be people that bring foolish and unlearned questions. Iniquity is going to flare its ugly face in front of you. And it's going to be a temptation to be a vessel of dishonor and to be a dirty vessel in God's hands. And there are going to be people out there who are going to be lovers of their own selves. And they're going to be all of these characteristics that are fierce and despisers. They're going to be hot and heavy and evil and wicked and destructive against you. They're going to try to kill you and destroy you. But you need to endure. Timothy, you've seen me go through this. Go back to verse 10 and 11. He says, Timothy, you've seen my faith. You've seen my purpose. You've seen my long suffering, my charity, my patience. Timothy, you see me deal with these different people. You've seen me answer foolish and unlearned questions, things without causing strife and to the best of my ability. You've seen and heard the stories of how I was kind and benevolent to people even when they wanted to kill me. He said, I've gone through persecutions, Timothy, and you've seen those. Timothy, I've gone through afflictions at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. He said, I endured those persecutions. He said, the Lord delivered me out of all these things. Timothy, you've seen the victories. You've seen that because I was faithful to God and to His doctrine and to His word, that I was a faithful and skillful artificer, a skillful workman, that God has provided for me. He's protected me, and He'll do the same for you. You see, a master plumber or a master artist or a master electrician, they are trying to bring these journeymen up to where they are so that then when they're gone, those journeymen can be those masters. And that profession, if you will, can be sustained from generation to generation to generation. Folks, older folks here, we need to be the examples that the next generation can see. There should be no question that your kids and the kids of this church, the young people of this church, should know our doctrine. What we stand for. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. We've gone through all those, right? Heaven, hell, all kinds of things. There should be no question. And you know what they should see? They should see our manner of life. You know what, folks? If I'm here behind the pulpit, or if I'm standing out there in the foyer, or if I'm over in my house, in my front yard, backyard, in my swimming pool. You may not realize this or understand this or agree with this. I guess I really don't care. I swim fully clothed. I do. I swim it. I have pants. I have a shirt. That's how I swim. It's just the way I do it. Well, why? Well, because there's no problem with that. You know? And if somebody walks in my back gate, guess what they're going to see? A fully clothed preacher in a pool. You know what they're going to think? That's weird. And I'm going to say, woo! I mean, why not? You know? I'm not going to be in the shower fully clothed unless I'm trying to wash my clothes at the same time. I guess that works, but but you understand though, that we have a manner of life. Why wouldn't we just be who we are in Christ Jesus everywhere we go? And by the way, Christian, would you take Jesus to the bar with you? Would you take Jesus to go buy cigarettes? Would you take Jesus to filthy, awful, wicked movies? Would you sit with Jesus in your car, turning up the jams on the radio? Our manner of life. You know what? Yeah, my youngest daughter, Greta. That little thing, she's funny. But you know what? She's at that stage right now where she is mimicking really well. This morning, Della, they came into our room and Della was with her, and so Greta jumps up and I'm holding her, and Della's going like this to her.
And so Greta looks at her and goes, you know, just, it's the same. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah. It was just, I mean, just as plain as can be, you know. We have, I've got a 5-year-old going, and I got a 16-month going, you know, right back. They mimic our manner of life. I mean, I told you before, I've had to learn to curb my road rage some. Because, you know, when you're driving down the road and you have 5 or 6 little ones in the back seat and you get mad at a driver and say, "You stupid idiot!" And you hear in the back, "You stupid idiot!" You know, we got to be careful of our manner of life. It matters. And we've got to live a certain way. I apologize, Rachel. So sorry. It was just an illustration. Okay. We shouldn't talk like that. Manner of life, purpose. We need to help people understand that we have a purpose. Why are we here? What are we here for? To serve the Most High God. And what does He say to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Listen, folks. Paul had a manner of life. Whenever he went from a city to city, he had a purpose. He would go into the synagogue and he would teach them to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And so Paul went in and he had a process. He had a purpose. He had a manner of way that he did things. He went in, he talked to them until they threw him out. And then he'd go to the Gentiles and they would hear him. And then maybe the Jews would stir up everybody and cast him out of the city. Guess what he'd do? He'd go to the next city and do the same thing. Timothy got to see that. He said, my faith. So Timothy, through these persecutions, through these things that I've gone through. Now, we don't know and believe that Timothy was there, but I'm sure he heard the story of Paul and Silas in jail singing. I'm sure he heard the story about Paul being stoned to death. I'm sure he heard the story about how Paul was mocked and beaten and persecuted, but yet he preached Christ. His faith and faithfulness, Timothy got to see that example. His long suffering, his charity, his patience. Proverbs 4 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not and she shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee." Ladies and gentlemen, as we consider this thought today, we need to know the doctrine of those that have come before us. The doctrines of this book, to see the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, the patience. To notice the persecutions and afflictions. The things that people have endured. And how the Lord has delivered them. Then he gives an encouragement. And yes, it's an encouragement. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You ever wonder if you're doing the right thing? On the right path? Tell you what, why don't you gauge it by how much persecution you're going through? If there's little or no resistance, maybe you're not on the right path. If there's much resistance, maybe you're on the right path, right? So, folks, listen. Paul is trying to say, Timothy, I am a skillful artificer. I'm a workman. I'm a master in this area.
And I want you to know the same things. I want you to become a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In John chapter 7, Jesus said this, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." You see, Paul never took credit for these things. He said, "Look, Timothy, I got these things from God. And I'm going to pass these things on to you, because who are we trying to be approved by? God. Not man. If you will, not the church. Not any human entity. But the divine entity, God." So church today, being aware of these things and being encouraged to study to show ourselves approved. Can I say to you, we can see in the scriptures the doctrine and fully know the doctrine of God and what we ought to follow. What it is, the methods and the procedures and the ways to lay a foundation and add the accents and the texture and the color and to make a painting that God would be approved of and pleased with. There's a way to do it. Did you know that there's a way to put fittings together, right? There's a way to wire a house. By the way, I was kind of frustrated with this yesterday. I kept trying to plug in roasters to heat up stuff, and I kept popping breakers. In my opinion, if you're going to have an outlet, it needs to be able to, you know, if I have four outlets, I should be able to plug four things in and it all work. Right? Otherwise, I don't need four outlets. No, I know. I'm just teasing. I know it depends on what draw each item has. Okay? So it's not smart to plug four roasters into four outlets, because you're probably going to blow the breaker. So thank God for different circuits. Amen? But we need to know how to do things. And by the way, there's a right thing and a right way and a wrong way. You ever heard the phrase, don't take shortcuts? Don't cut corners? Right? What does that do? It gets you in trouble. Well, it saves time. I don't think we're into saving time. And by the way, it really doesn't, because you're going to pay for it later in time when you burn a house down. Then you got to rewire the whole house, right? Instead of fixing the outlet the way it's supposed to be the first time. Plumbing, got to dig another hole in your yard, right? I mean, might as well just do it right the first time. Christian, look, we are at war. And by the way, if we do make a mistake, it could be fatal. Not to just us, but to the person we're talking to. You know, there are some people that will never know God and the love of God and salvation because a Christian was rude or a Christian was in the flesh or not what they were supposed to be. And those people got turned off to the gospel. What a shame. What a loss. We need to be careful to be a skillful artificer. Do you suppose that God gives us a work to do, something to accomplish, and he's entrusting us to make the right hammer stroke? He's trusting us to make the right paint stroke? He's trusting us to make the right connection? He's trusting us to do this so that thing that is being dealt with can be what it needs to be? To come out right, to be the sculpture, the painting, or the completed unit that it needs to be. Whatever case may be, Paul says, Timothy, you've known my doctrine, you've known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, all these things. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Timothy, you need to continue. He said the opposition is going to grow, but you've got to stay faithful. You've got to keep on your journey to reach that place of being a master. And then, do you understand, folks? The journey of the master is not done when they become a master. It just changes. Because now their journey as a master is not to become a master, but to train up the next master. So that now when Timothy is standing in Paul's spot, he can reach down to someone else and say, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my faith, my charity, my patience, the persecutions that I've endured. And listen, folks, Timothy endured plenty of persecutions on his own. And then he takes that one along and he brings them up and their journey becomes to a master. And then they reach down and say, look, you've seen my doctrine and my faith and my persecutions. And that's the process. We need to be that verse 17, man of God or woman of God that may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Why? So that we can bring along another journeyman to be a workman approved unto God. So we can look back and say to someone, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing truth, the word of truth. Avoid these questions and avoid iniquity and watch out for the snares of the devil. And listen, there are going to be people that are going to be scoffers and they're going to be haters and they're going to persecute you and they're going to try to kill you and try to destroy you. But you got to avoid them. You got to turn away from them and you got to continue in the faith like I have. And then the next guy, he gets up to there and he does the same thing and over and over and over again. Timothy had the right foundation, the Word of God. From a child, remember his family's testimony? Where was this faith first found? In Timothy's mother and grandmother. You understand, folks, that from a child, Timothy was fed the Scriptures. It says, Timothy, you know you're on the right track. You know these things are right and true. He says you need to continue in the things that you've learned. Don't get off the path to the right hand or to the left. Stay on course. Let me ask you a question. Paul used sports. He used agricultural terms. Paul used all kinds of things. Because remember, he was all things to all men, that he might save some. But he also used shipping terms, right? Sailing terms. What happens when you get off course, everybody? Shipwreck. Shipwreck. And so Paul said, I don't want to be shipwrecked. So I've got to stay on course. I press toward the mark. He said, I'm staying on course. There's a course set for me. And I need to go from point A to point B. And this is the way I need to get there. And I've got to stay on course. He said, I've finished my course, right? I've kept the faith. He said, Timothy, you need to stay on. You need to continue in the things that you've learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, you've seen my gallery. You've seen the things. You've seen my manner of life, my faith. And you need to take a look and you need to continue in those things. As we make sure that we stay on course and not come in contact with the rocks or the coral or the reefs or the things that are trying to shipwreck our ship, that will help us to become a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I love what he says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And then he says an interesting statement here, which are able. Now, as we close today, I want you to focus on that thought, because we're going to roll right into verses 16 and 17 next time. But I want you to think about this. So, Timothy, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. And they, what? Are able to make thee wise. Folks, the Word of God is going to do its job. It's going to be true, whether you believe it or not, whether you follow it or not, right? It is able. Back in Ephesians, if you want to just flip over there real quick, in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, we know verses 8 and 9, right? Verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works," right? "Which God hath before ordained that we should." We should. Hey, we should be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. This book is able to make us wise. But what's the key? We have to choose. We have to choose. Paul said, Timothy, you got to continue in the faith. He said, Timothy, you need to be a workman. But what does Timothy have to do? Choose to be a workman. He needs to choose to continue in the faith. He needs to choose to see the product in Paul's life and follow after it. We too can be a workman of God, approved unto God. We can rightly divide the word of truth. We can flee from iniquity. We can be prepared unto every good work. We can avoid foolish and unlearned questions. We can be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patience. We can help some recover out of the snare of the devil. We can turn away from these evil men and these evil things. We can put on the whole armor of God. We can fight the good fight of faith. We can overcome. If we will. So will we? Will we? Will we be thoroughly furnished unto all good works? Will we be one that finishes our course, keeps the faith? Will we be one that one day at the judgment seat, Jesus looks at us and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."